This is the PJ and Jim in the Morning Catch-Up Podcast. Catch PJ and Jim live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on Classic Hits.
Hadaway, what is love here at Classic Hits? Waking up happy with PJ and Jim Wednesday morning, 2nd of September. It's just 8 minutes past 6 o'clock. What is the story?
What's the story
with you? Hey?
Martin, to your heart.
That's a bit of a wet and wind.
It's a bit of an Irish thing.
That's exactly what it is.
That's as clean as I can put it. It's a thing. Yeah, so it's not great. Yeah.
Doesn't look fantastic out there. Anyway, how are you doing this morning? Anything strange, wonderful, exciting, amazing?
No, not really,
oh,
no.
Like,
there's definitely nothing strange, wonderful, or amazing. Which I suppose no news is good news in that way.
Exactly.
If you know what I mean.
Exactly.
Although I wouldn't mind a bit of strange. You know what I mean? Every so often.
Of course, I fully understand.
Yeah. A little bit of strange wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Anyway, listen, morning, folks. I see Margaret is on there. Somebody's saying it's another wet one this morning. Who's that sending that in now? Derek, it is. There's a picture being sent in by Pierre. Pierre and Finglas.
Oh, Pierre and Finglas.
Yeah, signed jersey I have from that famous Dutch team you were talking about yesterday with Edgar Davids and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, brilliant, yeah.
Yeah. So, Edgar Davids was suspended for doping and McAteer scored the winner. That's right, in that famous game at Lansdowne
Road. Famous
way,
yeah, McAteer's famous goal. Yeah, wow. That's right.
And then God, that's some jersey to have, isn't it?
That's not a bad jersey now
that's
to
impressive,
have.
You'd have to say.
Look at that. Rudy Gudnulla would be down there now.
Exactly, because it was his birthday yesterday. That's what brought the whole thing up, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Bergkamp on that team. Because remember Bergkamp.
To be fair, it'd be hard to tell from the signatures, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would, yeah. But you remember Bergkamp was the European footballer that was terrified of flying. He wouldn't fly with the lads.
That's right, you had to go by train
ferries
and boats and everything.
Yeah. And trains and all that sort of old nonsense, yeah.
Yeah,
and
mad.
They all hated each other. That was what was famous about them. They couldn't sit in a room together.
Yeah.
Great old crack. Those are the days. Proper rock star football.
Yeah. Gareth and Limerick, morning to you. And of course the Lily White, who is now officially escaped. Oh no, it's not actually. God, what am I saying? The Lily White. It's JP. JP, I haven't heard from you in ages. That's what threw me.
JP, oh, how are you, JP?
JP, back in action. Of course he's back in action. Sure, the schools are back in action.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what it's all about.
They're all back. Oh, the traffic. All the people already giving out about the traffic. Oh, it's gas, isn't it?
Why did you run into traffic yesterday?
Well, it's like just the same people I know in my family.
Yeah.
Not looking at anyone in particular in my family who've been dying to get their kids back to school.
Are suddenly now complaining about
and
the traffic.
Going, I couldn't believe how many people were out. Do you think there might have been any sort of correlation there now between
them? Yeah, like with maybe the same reason you're out.
Yeah,
that's not the point.
No, just shut up, you. You have an answer for everything.
Oh.
You never even went into school and now you're telling me what to be doing.
Nick Kershaw, wouldn't it be good here at Classic Hits? Waking up happy with PJ and Jim on this wet Wednesday, 2nd of September. It's 14 and a half minutes past 6. We're about to get stuck into the birthdays.
Yes, indeed.
Right, you ready to go?
I think so.
Have you got your happy head on?
I've got a head on. I've got some sort of a head of descriptions.
We were talking about this bloke, actually, and I can't remember what it was that brought him up into conversation, but I know we were talking about him recently. Jimmy Connors is celebrating his birthday today.
Jimmy Connors, the tennis player?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was like a corsair, wasn't he? One of the legends of when tennis was kind of like football at the time. Rock star tennis.
Yeah. And you know what's weird, right, is that... Remember you recommended that movie to me to watch on Netflix... Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh, did you watch it?
I did watch it.
Ah, what
very
you think
good.
Of it?
It's very
a
good.
It's a class
like,
movie.
It's like a redneck Rain Man.
It is. That's a really good description of it. Oh, it's a brilliant movie.
Very good. But anyway, one of the stars of that, Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
Right? I noticed, because I was thinking to myself, like, you know, he's had mad stuff going on in his life. He's been arrested loads of times and he's always in sort of like, he's had crazy life.
Bit of a nutter, like, right? The way he carries on sometimes.
But... Right, I was thinking to myself after I watched it, I wonder what he's doing now. Is he still even acting or whatever?
Yeah.
And it turns out he's promoting a movie at the moment, right?
Right.
Called Borg versus McEnroe.
No.
He's going to play John McEnroe.
Oh, that's a very good casting. I can see that.
Yeah, and so it's that era of McEnroe and Borg, right, when they were...
Brilliant.
And the fame, all that famous kind of like... there was chalk dust and not out and all that sort of stuff.
You cannot be serious.
That's it.
Yeah.
So he's going to play him in a movie. That'd brilliant. Be a cracking movie.
Oh, that's
it?
A great idea.
And of course, the other part of that was Jimmy Connors was, okay, slightly ahead of it, but you know.
Slightly ahead, but still, he was a part of all of that.
Yeah.
That time.
That time.
When they were all like these rock stars. Like, they were absolute rock stars. Tennis players aren't like that at all anymore. What's no. your man now? Jimmy Nadal or something's his name.
Raphael.
Yeah, same thing.
And Michelangelo and all.
But there's no, yeah, Michelangelo. Yeah. I've heard of them. Yeah. And they're incredible, probably the best ever and whatever. Yeah. And
you see, that's the thing, like
there's
the success.
No sports personality anymore.
Yeah, like Federer and Sampras before him and all of that. They probably were the best players, but they weren't the crack that.
Oh, no, they were no crack.
And they didn't have the glamour that even Borg. How could Borg have glamour? He barely spoke, but he was still kind of cool.
I know. I know, and like the women's one was huge as well with Steffi Graf and Navratilova and all of them. It was savage time for it to be into the tennis, so it was.
Absolutely.
Oh, but anyway. Then I was mad into snooker and darts then as well. What a life, mate. What a youth. I'd say that.
Right, Jimmy Connors.
Oh, he's like 63.
Not bad, 68.
Oh, okay, right.
68.
Ah, not the worst.
Won Wimbledon twice. Held the number one ranking for 160 consecutive weeks. My God, he was actually better than I probably gave him credit for.
Yeah, sounds like it.
He was kind of a fraction ahead of our time, wasn't he?
Just a little, yeah, right.
We were
before.
Catching the tail end of him.
Yeah, we caught him, but he was like, you know, he dodgy knees and all by the time we got to him.
Right, Jimmy Connors, 68. What about this? Keanu Reeves. Or Canoe, as you like to call
him. Canoe. I love Canoe. I can't wait to see the new Bill and Ted movie. I cannot wait to see it.
That's mad they're doing another one of them.
Yeah, it's all done and everything. What's the one that they have to do this time? To write the best song in the world, I think, is the plot for this new one.
Right.
So if they write the best song in the world, they're struggling to do it. So they go, hey, man. Or, sorry, dude. We got to go into the future and listen to the song and then fly back and then do it that way. So that way we can rip off our own song. I can't wait to see it. It sounds ridiculous. It sounds absolutely ridiculous.
It's mad that he appears in movies like that and mad romps like, you know, Speed or whatever.
Yeah. And then John Wick and everything.
John Wick. Do you ever watch those movies?
Yeah, very good, yeah. They're great crack.
Ridiculous, but my God,
brilliant,
they were entertaining.
Crack. Don't mess with a man's dog, Jim.
Yeah.
Don't mess with a man's dog.
And then things like iconic stuff like The Matrix.
Yeah. And he still goes, he's not afraid of his roots to just jump back into Bill and Ted.
It's mad.
He's had a mental life. He's had a really hard life.
Has he?
Oh, he's had a horrendous life. Oh, did you never read all the things that's happened to him? Yeah, it's been, so he lives really simple now because of it. Like, he just lives in a small apartment, there's not a lot in it.
Right.
It's like me with the bowl and the fork and the knife and the cup and everything.
Exactly, yeah.
He's a bit into that. He lives a very, very simple life because, you know, he's just, he always had
people ripping him off and stuff, wasn't it? People?
No, like his sister died. And,
oh, God.
Like, there's a whole load of personal tragedies there. And like he's supposed to be one of the nicest men. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Horrendous stuff. But he's supposed to be one of the nicest men in Hollywood, kind of because of it all.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. Now I brought down the tone. We were all having a laugh there. Yeah. I'd say Keanu Reeves is. He's like 46.
Believe it or not, he's 56.
Is he?
Yeah.
Jeez, he looks well.
Yeah.
Whoa.
56, Keanu Reeves. Right, speaking of somebody who looks very well, very talented actress,
56.
Very, very lovely head.
Oh.
Salma Hayek.
Which one is that now?
Salma Hayek from...
She Wonder Woman.
No. No, Wonder Woman's Gal Gadot.
Oh,
and
that's
all that.
It, yeah.
No, Salma Hayek, the Mexican actress.
Jeepers, I can't picture her at all.
Kind of like... a bit like Penelope Cruz. A bit like.
A bit like. Yeah, I know Penelope Cruz. I'll just go with her and hopefully it's around the same.
Salma Hayek, the first ever Mexican actress to be nominated for a Best Actress Oscar.
Wow, yeah, I'm going to definitely guess Penelope Cruz's age. Because I know what she is. And so I'll say 63.
You need to look up Salma Hayek. You will not be disappointed by her talent.
I guess I definitely will not, by the sounds of it.
Anyway, she's 54.
I beg to differ.
And I can't believe you would have, if you were guessing Penelope Cruz, you went for 63.
I don't know what I was thinking. I literally watched a movie with her there last week called The Wasp Factory.
Wow.
And I can't believe I did that.
Let's
on the Wasp Network.
Let's leave the acting world behind.
I'm not good at
it
this
hasn't
game
gone
anymore.
Well.
I used to be good at this game.
Let's go. Here, look. This is going to redeem it. It's your favourite. Boxing. You love your boxing.
Oh, God. Yeah, go on.
What about Lennox Lewis.
Oh, Lennox Lewis, yeah. Right, he's not too much older than me now. He was like, he always got fairly criticised because he was the big champ when there wasn't really a lot of people to be punching in the face of any sort of credentials.
Yeah. It says here he was one of four boxers in history to have won the heavyweight championship three times.
Yeah, yeah. And that was the
thing. Is that as in winning it back or winning it, like, you know, holding on to it?
No, he won it back, didn't he?
Won it back?
Yeah, he kept coming out of retirement, I think, was his thing.
Oh, right, okay.
I think he was one of them. Like, he just kept coming back and sort of going,
yes.
Yeah. He just realised there were so many donkeys around at the time. I think that was kind of it, to be real, to be honest.
I think I'll go over there and knock that donkey down and get a title.
So he did. He wasn't quite George Foreman walking around with, like, you know, just to sell grills and still managed to somehow be a champion when he was, like, pretty much romping past his middle age.
Apparently he's a big fan of chess.
Lennox Lewis?
Yeah.
It's gas. I know it's terrible, but you never think of a boxer playing chess.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Yeah,
although you can kind of imagine it's him and Chris Eubank having a game of chess.
You really can. God, Chris Eubank. He's just brilliant. My favourite boxer story of all time was him bringing a homeless man home. I put him in many where the belt is. And then after a week, the homeless lad went, here, this is, I can't take it. And he left.
I dropped the life on the streets.
Listen, it was hard before, but it's impossible now. And he left the house.
Brilliant.
Oh, God.
Right, Lennox Lewis, give us an age.
He's 56.
Oh, not bad, 55.
Ah,
55. Right, yeah. And then your son, a curveball. Not really a curveball, although this bloke is a curveball. Joey Barton is celebrating his birthday today.
Joey Barton?
Yeah.
Who was it he played for again?
Everybody.
Everybody, yeah.
QPR, oh, Man God. City, Rangers, Newcastle.
Wow.
Joey Barton's been everywhere.
Rangers convicted and QPR, right up our street.
And then, of course, been managing Fleetwood Town. And when he's not being convicted of violent offences.
Yeah. Jeepers. Imagine, that's what you do when you're a footballer. It's the only tribute football club.
He did that thing as well when he went to play. Did he play in France or something? Maybe he was on international duty or something. And he tried to do that whole thing about, you know, put like the accent on. You know, like as though he spoke French and did the whole sort of like the how you say.
That's right, yeah.
Made a complete
fool of himself, yeah. That's what, there's a few of them have done that.
I have to look that up again, yeah. His press conference where he puts on like.
He just decides.
Hon-hi-hon.
Yeah, still speaking English.
Yeah.
I'd like to say. That is a big change.
It's how you say.
It's how you say in England, fish and chips.
The foul.
Yeah. Oh, God. What age is he, though? That's a tough one. 56.
Oh my God, man. This is not going well today.
Oh.
38.
Feels a lot longer ago in my head, Jim.
This is Classic Hits.
Thank you kindly, Tara. How are you this morning?
It's hump day.
Hump day it is.
No complaints. No complaints.
It is. Oh, by the way, PJ, I found out some very interesting trivia about our very own Tara Duggan earlier on. You know that?
Yeah, what's that now?
Did you know that Tara Duggan worked for the BBC?
Oh, I did not know that,
She did at a time. And I found out, the bit of trivia that I was most fascinated by was the fact that Tara Duggan, our has had a fag in the Blue Peter Garden.
Get out of it.
What an amazing claim to fame.
That sounds actually rude. Doesn't it? Sounds like bad manners to do that.
It's incredible. Literally. What was your man's name? The famous gardener bloke who... It doesn't matter.
Oh,
anyway.
I can't.
But, yeah, the Blue Peter Garden. My God, part of your childhood.
Wow, that's
and
amazing.
And Tara Duggan was sitting there dragging on a fag out of it.
Oh, I know. Probably put
next to Shep's grave.
I was just about to say she probably put her fag out on the dog's grave. I was just going to say it. I was just going to say it.
As if that wasn't cool enough. She sat in the... it wasn't really the audience, really, was it?
No. It was up at the back of the sound stage.
While they were filming Ready, Steady, Cook.
You're joking me.
Yeah.
Oh.
Was that the one with Ainsley Harriott,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah.
That was
a great
show.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a great show.
He tried to put every sort of innuendo into that, didn't he?
Yeah. And it was brilliant the way it was
done. You need to rub your meat.
Yeah. You go, careful how you handle your cause, yet.
And then who did I fraternise with in the actual official smoking room when I wasn't sneaking into the Blue Peter Garden for a fag?
Only news reading legend Moira Stewart.
Don't know who that one is now, but I'd say the other ones. The other ones are great. I'm very impressed by the other ones.
That is incredible, isn't it? I tell you something. What a claim to fame that is. Yeah, I'm not having a fag. It
says a lot about me that I knew the name of the Blue Peter dog, but I didn't know the name of the newsreader.
Actually, that does say a lot. Well, you know John Craven, I hope.
John Craven's newsreader. He did the news for kids.
That's it, yeah.
That was brilliant, yeah. Oh my God, remember that actually? News round. And he'd come and go, in the news today. And he'd do a couple of like real normal sort of topical things.
Yeah.
And he'd go, and in other news, a penguin in Denmark has been made mayor of Copenhagen. We talk to the penguin keeper today. It was brilliant. It was.
I owe my career to that man.
Do you?
He's an inspiration. Yeah.
I'd say you were standing there waiting in the Blue Peter garden, fag hanging out of your mouth going, oh, I tell you, John Craven.
Look at me now.
Santana and Rob Thomas and Smooth and Heaven is a Place on Earth from Belinda Carlisle ahead of that. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim on this Wednesday, 2nd of September. Almost 17 minutes to 7 o'clock. Thanks for hanging out with us, folks. Much appreciated. Thanks for all the WhatsApps. 087-188-0008 as always. If you want to get in touch, Stephen is a lot happier today.
Yeah, why? What's
because he
Stephen?
Says he's been driving in from Kilmuckridge.
Oh, yeah.
For the last few weeks, and he couldn't guess classic hits on the radio.
Oh, my God.
Until he hit Newtown Mount Kennedy in Wicklow. And then he could pick it up. But he downloaded the old app.
That's what you do.
And suddenly he's back in the game.
Back in the game. Good to have you with us, my friend.
Thanks for that, Stephen. And Kilmuckridge, my God, that brings back memories.
Why?
I went there as a kid on holiday in a caravan.
Jeepers.
Kilmuckridge.
That's what it was like living in the 1920s.
It was like, I tell you something, it was bizarre. It was just like a caravan in the middle of a field.
So it wasn't even on the coast or anything.
It was like an episode of, you know, that Father Ted episode that Graham Norton is in? when they go camping or caravanning or whatever.
Just dancing in the caravan.
Oh my God.
It's not on the coast.
To be honest with you, I couldn't tell you. I think you had to drive to, I don't know, Cortown or something if you wanted to do it.
That's great, isn't it? This is the thing. It's so funny when you see Irish people now and it's like, oh my God, during this pandemic, how am I going to live without me holidays? And if you're as old as us, you went, we never had a holiday in my life.
Yeah,
I went
people used to go to Skerries on their holidays.
Yeah, we went to Spiddle and we didn't stop talking about it for 10 years. Because it was another 10 years before I went anywhere again.
Because it was miles away.
He was like, oh my God. And it took like a day to get there because you had to stop and all the... there was no such thing as motorways or anything like that.
Yeah.
My God, we're ancient.
What are we like?
Kilmuckridge and Spittle. I tell you, Jim, living the high life.
Living the dream, baby.
And giving out.
And also, apparently somebody's been on irate. It's great the way people get irate when they think they know something you don't. But anyway, hang on, and I give this person the credit. Kevin's been on irate to say, that movie is out years, Jim. I'm glad now. You see, so take that, Kevin, and stick it in your irate pipe. Even the great PJ Gallagher didn't know about it.
Oh my God,
I never heard of it.
Imagine using me as an example for that.
So apparently, that Borg versus McEnroe thing is out a couple of years
I'd really like to see that. Never knew there was such a thing.
I'd never heard of it. Never heard of it. Didn't see it around at all. Because I do remember the other one. Remember the one with the racing drivers? James Hunt.
Oh, that's a fantastic movie.
Niki Lauda, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic movie. That's great, Craig. Now it's completely...
Rush, wasn't it? That was
called. Yeah. Now it's, look, it makes them out like they despised each other their whole lives, blah, blah, blah. The two of them used to live in a flat together in London. They were really good friends. Their rivalry was purely on-track rivalry, really.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so the movie paints
a different picture. Yeah.
But it's a great movie. It's just one of those, like we were talking about yesterday, you know, based on a true story.
Sort of.
Told by one person who wasn't there at the time.
Because your man make that? Ron Howard. Didn't he make that? You know, Ron Howard
behind
all those huge things like...
Happy Days.
Yeah.
Is that him?
That's the man. Huge things like Happy Days.
But isn't that the right fella?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. He did go on to do a lot of other things. But yeah, you're right.
Loves Chachi, I think. He did a few of them. I think he was in a couple of them.
Oh, brilliant. Lewis, morning to you. I think he's looking for a tune, is he? Wants us to say a big hello. Oh, just to himself. Well, Lewis, how are you?
How are you, Lewis?
And we'll try and get a tune on. And there is Phil I Am
Ah, Newcastle man. Apologies, now, Phil, I am for my Newcastle accent yesterday.
Yeah, he was on. That's what he's on about, basically. He said it was hilarious. Picked it up on the podcast.
You know, my Jack Donnelly, being a priest accent.
It was impressive, to say the least.
I was disappointed in myself.
Yeah. Labar checking in as well. Anyway, listen, folks.
Today,
what have we got for you? We've loads going on for you today. PJ's just been briefing me on some of the amazing gems he has lined up for us today.
It's great.
It's quite incredible.
Loads going on.
Yeah. Absolutely amazing. We missed a huge birthday yesterday, didn't we? Birthday. We're going to put that right today.
Did we?
You literally told me a bit. You literally said it to me. Oh my God. Unbelievable.
Oh, we did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we did. I can't believe it. We missed a huge birthday.
Help me. Please. If you're listening out there, help me.
So you're the one going on about a new film that's coming out that's been out for years. Look at you. And now suddenly you're all judgmental because I missed the birthday of a phone. We'll be all right. Yeah, we'll get into that.
So that's on the way. What else did you say?
That's on the way.
There's a lad who is celebrating some of the great landmarks.
A fella from Bristol. You want to hear what he's into. This is what we have to... We should get
and
English.
It's perfect that it happens this week when we've got English John with us.
I know, because we were just having a chat, me and English John. We were just saying, you know, when Irish people get bored or, you know, they tend to just be bored. You can never keep an Englishman from a passion of some sort.
Absolutely.
So. And then there's another lad who went to a Gordon Ramsay restaurant and just ordered loads of food and didn't even read the menu. Who does that? Who goes to like the fanciest restaurant of all time nearly and just doesn't read the menu, just orders something off the top of his head? We need to be giving out a lot about him.
Absolutely.
A lot about him.
There you go. That's just a little flavour of the menu that we have for you today. And of course, into that we got to throw the hit bit, which is €1,720 to play for. And of course, breakfast table quiz. It's a score of... is it still 7 to beat or was it 8 yesterday?
8 yesterday, yeah. Eight we passed by 1 yesterday.
8 yesterday, right, on the breakfast table quiz. All of that lies ahead. 087-188-0008 if you want to give us a shout.
Yeah, whose birthday is it again?
Oh, jeez. 7.5 minutes past 7. I don't know where I was going with that one there for a minute. I was looking at the seconds ticking away at the clock there.
Got carried away.
I tell you, it became hypnotic there for a minute, PJ.
Yeah, I know.
You know the way it can be when you suddenly become engrossed in something and before you know it, you've lost yourself. You've gone down the wormhole.
Suddenly you've lost yourself. Suddenly, you know the way sometimes you think there's not a lot going on and then you're suddenly swept away with a new passion. Something walks into your life, and I'm not talking about love or any of that old nonsense. I'm talking about the good stuff, like a hobby that just sweeps you off your feet and then you find yourself,
like we were talking about that man, was it yesterday on the show or day before yesterday, where we were talking about that man who suddenly found himself addicted to lawnmowers.
Yes, well, to put it, remember him, because this isn't a million miles away. This is a fella called Sam Wilmot, right? And Sam's from Bristol. And Sam, he was out with his friends one day when he was in university in Swansea.
Right.
And he sat down on a bench and he said to his friends, God, that's a hell of a... Isn't that amazing bench?
Yeah.
The sheer comfort and the view and look at the craftsmanship that went into it. And his friends were like, jabers, man, it's a bench. Yeah, like, and he was, you know, I mean, do you know something, lads? You go on ahead. And they went on ahead.
And if you're not going to appreciate my bench.
Yeah, and he realised he had this really lovely, peaceful moment and he just couldn't stop thinking about all the work that went into this wonderful bench. And then he walked down the pier and he goes, oh my God, there's another one. And it was slightly different. And then he thought, I wonder if there's any interest in benches worldwide, he thought. And he set up an Instagram account. Rate my bench. Rate this bench, I beg your pardon. Rate this bench is now going mega viral. And he's been reviewing the benches of Britain and England and, Britain and England. England's in there in Britain. So he's been reviewing all these benches and it's taken off. And now he's getting guest reviewers from all around the world sending him in benches. He says one of the highlights of his life was he's always wanted to go to Bengal. And he was sent a bench review from Bengal. And he says, oh my God, who knew that the place I've always dreamed of being has such wonderful benches. And now he's so swept away, he's only ever seen two benches that he's rated 9 out of 10 in his life because he goes,
wow.
If I ever hit perfection, it might ruin it. He's there. When you see perfection, when you arrive at perfection, when you experience perfection, where do you get to go after that?
Exactly. There's no place to go but down.
Exactly. He's on. So to this day, there's only ever being 2 9 out of 10
and
benches.
And does he specify what makes a fantastic bench? What gets a 9 out of 10 bench?
Well, I tell you something, there was a lovely one he
can
said.
Can benches be that? I suppose they can be that different.
Yeah.
I mean, are they not just primarily some various combination of metal and wood?
Philistine. You're a Philistine. An absolute Philistine is what you are. No, they're not just a combination of metal and wood. It's design, it's craftsmanship, it's metal and wood. Granted, some of them are plastic. It's the view. A lot of it's about the view, the placement, where it is. One of the 9 out of 10 benches, for instance, if I was to tell you about it, is in St. John's Churchyard in Old Sodbury. He gave that one a 9, he says. And then there's one in Down End, he goes. It's absolutely massive. He goes, there's so much room on it. It's in memory of a lad called Connor Hall. Never heard about the lad, but he's left us a wonderful bench.
Yeah, it's an incredible legacy he's left
to
us.
He says it's actually 30 foot long.
Wow.
30 foot bench.
Obviously, Connor was a long lad.
Oh, yeah, must have been. It was placed in the King George V playing fields in Westerly Road in honour of Connor. And his family and friends raised thousands for defibrillators. So this bench has a legacy as well, which scored it up the thing.
That's incredible.
And he goes, it's amazing what you see. And I will say this, right? An Englishman and his passion. Like, Irish people, we don't really get as passionate about these things that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
The lawnmower man was an Englishman. Now, Irish people get bored and, you know, we let anxiety maybe take over. Or we get a bit stressed out. We don't talk to people.
We seek solace in the fizzies.
Yeah, whereas Englishmen go, oh, we'll find a reason to live and be one. We'll find wonderful things in the world.
Isn't it English John who introduced us to the idea of the being able to review the service station?
It was English John that was passionate about the service station.
Was it you that actually reviewed service stations?
We piloted it on this very show. Yes, we did. What an excellent feature.
What an excellent feature is very true. And how long did that service station review sort of thing happen for?
I mean, my hobby lasted a good hour. But
you were saying about people and their passions.
I know. But I will say John's playing it down now, because if you ask John about the service station, he goes on.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows them, like.
Yeah.
Oh, it's true. I've got rid of the notebook, but I still keep my eyes open.
Would you admire our bench reviewer? And is that like somebody you'd aspire to? Or
I'm single. I can't believe you said all benches look the same. I thought that's the worst thing I've heard on the radio.
Absolutely.
All year.
It's scandalous. Scandalous.
And I will say,
I didn't say they all look the same. I just said, are they not fundamentally a combination of wood and metal? But I did forget about the plastic
so
ones.
Base. You're such a Philistine. So it's not base.
It's unbelievable.
Like, another time this guy was in Cardiff Station and he asked the guy to take a picture of him sitting on the bench for his review that he was doing.
Yeah.
And the man goes, why do you want the picture of sitting on the bench? And he goes, well, I explained why. He says, I'm a bench reviewer and I've got quite a lot of passion in my life. And the man turned around to him and went, are you kidding me? I have one on hand dryers. So he met a hand dryer reviewer in his travels.
Oh my God.
So now we have...
It's extraordinary. Just the mention of that has elevated the bench bloke considerably.
Yeah.
Because I'm sorry, whatever about the bench lad, hand dryer fella. I mean, he's never getting married or anything.
Well, I will. Yeah, I definitely will say I've never had much of a view from a public jacks. So I take the benches on the other one every time. You know what I mean?
Are we going looking now for Ireland's greatest bench? Is that your plan?
That's not a bad idea. Or is anyone passionate about something? For a brief period, I was quite fascinated with the grottos of Ireland. They looked wonderful.
And people, moving on up here at Classic Hits. 17 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim. 087-188-0008 if you want to give us a shout, like Steve the Trucker, who says, lads, surely the most famous bench of all is Arthur Fowler's bench in EastEnders.
Do you remember that? We all knew about that bench. Even if you didn't watch EastEnders, you knew about the bench.
Did that get rated by... What's his name again? Steve, isn't it?
Steven, yeah. I don't know if that was rated now, to be honest.
By the way, does he give like verbal reviews, or is it just like a picture on his Instagram?
No, it's two pictures. Every bench gets two pictures. So there's a picture of him sitting on the bench, which gives the perspective, human perspective, right, and the bench itself. And then
does he describe the experience, is it?
Yeah, and then he describes the experience, and then you get a picture of the view.
Right.
From the bench.
And then a rating, an out of 10.
And then you get a rating, a score out of 10, you know, an experience. You get a taste of what the weather was like that day, why he was wearing what he was wearing when he was using the bench. You know, yeah, it's pretty detailed.
It's extraordinary.
It's wonderful stuff.
He could always go around all the football grounds, rating the subs benches of all the football grounds.
Oh, dude, that's a whole sub-genre there. That's a whole subgenre. If he eventually does run out of benches of Britain, then yeah, I guess he could start.
He could move on. And I'd say, the other thing is, did you just BJ was just telling me there, right, that while he was on holidays, he caught a bit of Phil and Holly.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, I was watching it.
And
yeah,
apparently there was somebody who would give Steve Bench reviewer a run for his money.
Well, it's just where we were saying there's something so uniquely English about this Carry On, about yeah, finding and celebrating what most of us would see as absolutely mundane.
Yeah.
And there was a guy, he was 16, I think, and he was on This Morning with Philip and Holly. And I remember watching it, you know, one yeah, of the days. I think it was when we were off, and he was reviewing vacuum cleaners from his shed. Now, it was his dad. He was so into vacuum cleaners, he'd over 200 of them. And his dad.
He was a collector of vacuum cleaners.
Yeah.
Right, but, so right up there with our lawnmower man.
An extreme. He knew everything about them. So his dad had built him a shed because they couldn't keep them in the house anymore. And it looked like a vacuum cleaner shop. And anyway, Philip and Holly had him on thinking this would be a very novel idea, you know.
Yeah.
To get him to review.
Thought it'd be a bit quirky, maybe.
Yeah, try and review some vacuum cleaners for the market. You know, let us know what's out there.
Yeah.
My God, this fella was brutal. Jim, he started giving details no one cared about. You could hear Philip Schofield was trying to get in going, okay, that's, yeah, oh God, he's still talking. Oh, and you know the way Zoom makes it that much harder.
Yeah.
He was giving mad details. He gave this detail. He was talking about one. He goes, as you know, in America, this vacuum cleaner, their power is 110 volts, whereas in England, it's 240 volts. But this vacuum cleaner, you can get the same power in America as you can in England. It's a great travelling vacuum cleaner. I was like, who in the name of God goes on holidays to the States and takes a Hoover with them?
Yeah.
Like, you know, in case you absolutely want to do a bit of cleaning in the hotel.
Yeah. I mean, you don't know what it's like. It could be filthy over there.
You know, like,
you're going to have to pack the vacuum cleaner.
A great travelling vacuum cleaner. It's a completely spare details nobody would ever need to know about their Hoover.
Brilliant. Right, we'll have to see if we can find somebody who can actually challenge. So in the last couple of days, we've had a guy who's addicted to lawnmowers. We've had we've had PJ's vacuum cleaner reviewer. And we've had
the hand dryer man now.
Bench Steve and hand dryer man. Right, so if anybody can compete, if your hobby or anybody you know has a hobby that you think is as ridiculously mundane as that.
I know it's terrible. As if anyone's going to come forward now that we're going. So tell us what your stupid hobby is.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean? You can always be anonymous about it.
Oh, yeah, but not
say,
stupid.
Look, on behalf of a friend, I collect.
Yeah. On behalf of a friend, I collect these for a friend.
087-188-0008 gives a shout. Yeah, Denise Williams, let's hear it for the boy. Here are classic hits, almost 22 minutes to 8 o'clock. Almost time for the hit bit, of course. €1,720 what we're playing for. Could be yours. 087-188-0008. English John is literally scrolling through WhatsApp messages at the moment. Last chance to get involved, last call. 087-188-0008. Let him know if you want to play on the hit bit this morning. So far, PJ, nobody has been able to compete on the hobby front.
No.
With our friend who reviews park benches.
How could you, in fairness?
Or his friend who reviews hand dryers.
Yeah, or the vacuum cleaner man. I mean, it's very hard to beat these people, you know, like, in fairness.
Yeah. But I mean, sooner or later, everybody has some sort of review in them. They feel a surge, an urge to go and sort of tell other people what they thought of something.
It's a world of reviews. People are living in fear of reviews and everything as well. Every time somebody goes and does something new now, there's some site or whatever, they go into Google Maps or whatever and they upload how they felt about the experience they had.
Yeah.
And Irish tourism is not excluded from that. A lot of people come to Ireland and then they go and see things. And it just goes to show when you read some of the reviews on Google Maps that you can please absolutely nobody some of the time.
Wow.
Absolutely nobody all of the time.
Yes.
Somebody none of the time.
Fool me twice. Oh, shame God. On... yeah.
Whatever one of those that I mean, I mean. So it's gas. So,
I mean, because to be fair, we kind of, like, we tend to pat ourselves on the back for being fantastic at everything.
Yeah.
And everywhere, you know, and everything that's in Ireland and is Irish.
No. I know, but then you can't win.
We assume
win.
That everybody loves us.
I know. Look, you can't win, though. Someone went to Newgrange, right? A fella called Adil Amin went to Newgrange, right?
Mm.
One of Ireland's finest things in County Meath.
Well,
there.
I mean, there's not much more history than you can get in Newgrange.
3,000 years. It predates the pyramids.
Wow.
3,000 years.
Extraordinary.
He went there.
How could you not be in awe of it?
Well, this man went there, gave it a 1-star review and says, completely fake. No history. No history at Newgrange.
Completely fake.
All fake.
Oh, yeah,
no
sure
reason.
I went up to it. They were made out of styrofoam.
Oh, unbelievable, yeah.
I threw one.
I don't know how they taste it. I'm sure there was a road and all leading up to it. I mean, it just shows you. The Giant's Causeway. Fella called John went there. John says, there's something very strange about the shape of them rocks. I didn't trust them. One star. Didn't trust the rock.
Didn't trust the rock, yeah. Yeah. And it so, wasn't a rock sort of shape.
Yeah, well, yeah. So I don't trust these places. Yeah. Another fella who was there called Jermaz Your Da is his name on Google Maps. And he said it was absolutely terrible. I was told there was going to be giants. And there was only old people walking around. And it was a fiver for a potato. One star.
I'm sorry, man. That is the greatest review ever.
Is it? Yeah.
I know it's critical.
It,
yeah. But it's the I was told there
was going to be giants. And it was just old people. And it was a fiver for a potato. I mean, your ma's your da. I don't know what to say. I don't know how. Your expectation. So that's the thing as well. People's expectations are off the charts, right?
Yeah.
A guy called Derek went to the Titanic thing in Belfast, which I have to say, it's amazing.
It's brilliant.
Great deal.
I loved it.
Well, Derek said, couldn't believe it. There wasn't even a piece of the Titanic there to touch. It's a joke. Overpriced reading was all it was. Stay away. You can watch a YouTube documentary about it and save your money. I've never been so disappointed in my life. He thought he was going to see the boat.
Oh my god.
People are absolutely nuts.
He was going
nuts.
Out for a jant on it.
And then like you get just the weird ones. The guy, Rockcashel, right?
Yeah.
Rockcashel is a good old experience. Load, like you say, about Newgrange. Loads and loads of history. Well, a fella called Liam goes, listen, I done a night of security out there, he says, when the Queen was in Ireland, and I saw two sightings of a raven doing something very weird in the tower. Very scared, he didn't like it. One star.
That's got nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with anything.
He saw a raven.
I know, but sure, look, it's got...
Doing something very unusual.
Sure, look, some people...
And then he reviewed the Rock of Cashel off the back of it.
Yeah. And then another guy went to Rock All Rock, and he says, no signal on me phone. Brutal. Two stars. You're on your phone for anyway.
Nothing to do with the actual place or the experience of this. I couldn't get a phone signal.
Absolutely brutal.
I'm supposed to text everybody and say this is great.
There's no point in being here if I can't tell everyone about it. A guy went to a pub in Tipperary and he gave it a one star. It says, an old friend of mine died here. Not for me. R.I.P. Like, why did you go in the first place, man? What on earth were you thinking? Like, why would you go to us knowing that about us and then review us?
That's amazing.
Badly. I don't understand.
What an amazing thing to say. An old friend of mine died here.
Oh, friend of mine died here.
One star.
Yeah, to be honest, it's not for me. One star. It's like a man.
That's extraordinary.
The big fish statue in Belfast. Somebody went up, gave it a one star review and says, I don't like fish. End of story. Can't believe it. And then you get some of the positive ones. And like some of the positive ones are as bad as the bad ones.
Magnificent. Where are you going today? I'm going to see the fish statue.
I don't see the fish.
Yeah, I don't. I thought you didn't like fish.
I don't.
No, I don't. I'm going up specifically to give it a one star.
And then you come back. It's as bad as I thought.
Yeah.
Brutal. It's a huge fish.
I knew there was a reason I didn't like fish.
Yeah. And then you get someone. This one reminds me of our own English John here. So Phil Hall went to Cork, right?
Right.
And he went to the Dunkettle roundabout. He said, clear signage, exits, entries. Regrettably, not really the roundest of roundabouts, but it is rare. I report regularly and read about roundabouts in recent reviews, and overall I would say this is a wonderful way to end the M8. 5 stars. Wonderful way to end the M8.
So the only positive review you could find was for the Dunkettle roundabout.
Yeah,
the interchange.
Ireland, Cliffs of Moher. There's one that says the Cliffs of Moher aren't up to much, and 2 down. The Dunkettle roundabout, one of the greatest in the world. We're just looking in the wrong places, Jim. Hip hip, it's a bit of a really famous hit. It's a bit, just a bit from a classic hit. But what hit is it?
Hit bit.
The hit bit is worth a whopping 1,720 quid today. It's going up and up on, like I would say a tenner a day, but it feels like it's going up a thousand at all. Because we've got so much money to give away. Hopefully you had it down listening on classichits.ie, because there's loads of wrong answers up there at this stage. Here's what it sounds like, though. And Eileen White in Cork is going to play first. Hi, Eileen.
Hello, PJ and Jim, how are you?
Very well, Eileen, how are you? How are things in Cork?
Get right. I'm great, thank you, thanks.
What's your plans for the day, Eileen?
I'm going to work.
Right, so is it rainy or what's it like in Cork this morning? Because it's pretty miserable here.
Oh, I tell you, it's desperate here to say on and off, rain and wind.
Ah, good. As long as we're sharing the pain together, I'm all right with it, Eileen.
Oh, God, I know, yeah.
Right, so Eileen, we'd love to give you this money, £1,720. What do you think?
I think it's the Proclaimers' Walk 500 Miles.
Oh, that's our famous song.
Tell you something, yeah. Song very close to our heart, you know.
Our duet song. Yeah.
Absolutely. We've won many a prize with that, PJ, haven't
we? I think we actually performed it in Cork together.
Mm, indeed we did. Right, English John, what is the story?
Nah, you're a long way off. I'd say about 500
I'll try again.
Absolutely, Eileen, keep at it. Don't give up.
I won't give up.
Cheers. Take care of yourself.
See you. Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Right, so Susie in Limerick. How are you getting on, Susie?
I'm good.
And what's the story with you today? What are you up to?
I'm just in work now.
Are you allowed to tell us what it is?
Oh, RTR Electronics in Limerick.
Oh, very good. Right, so, right. I suppose I was going to ask you if it was the same in Limerick as Cork. I assume it is. Just miserable everywhere, is it?
Yeah, absolutely miserable.
See that, Susie? See how I know how to cheer people up?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you're brilliant. I tell you something. Wake up happy.
Right, Susie, we'd love to give you a few quid. 1,720, what do you think?
The Cranberry's Dream.
Oh, of course. Look at you going with the Limerick
absolutely.
Stuff as well.
Absolutely. One of your finest. One of your finest, Susie. Right, John, what do you think?
Wow, that last one really lingered.
Shock.
It's not this one either. Sorry, Susie.
Hi.
So now, Susie, what do you think? Who's better at the puns? Is it John or Mike?
Oh, I said
it'll have
to be
Mike.
Well,
oh, come on.
Oh, that's cold.
I think you were there to be kicked, John. You were there to be kicked.
Fade it down.
That's what.
See you, Susie. Thanks for having a go.
Bye.
Cheers, Susie. Good luck. Right, so it means that we go onwards. Niall Boylan next up. 12:45, of course, this afternoon. Or 12:45 this afternoon. A chance to play for it. And we'll try it again tomorrow morning if it doesn't go.
I feel bad now for putting Mike against. So there was no need for that level of competition now.
No.
John's got a kicking for no reason.
John, you all right?
Do you know, I'll get over it.
Journeys Don't Stop Believing here at Classic Hits. 9 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, 2nd of September. Bit of a wet one out there, folks. But thanks for letting us hang out with you this morning. Thank you for waking up happy with PJ and Jim. 087-188-0008 if you want to get us on WhatsApp, particularly this hour. If you fancy a bash at the breakfast table quiz, I'll tell you what would be fantastic in that weather. Is the exclusive PJ and Jim hoodie.
Wouldn't you just look amazing and stay
and
warm
feel
and
amazing
snug.
And yeah. Everything. Oh, it'd be incredible, incredible.
And you'd have a face mask to go into a shop.
Exactly.
Get yourself an old
shelter.
Coffee, yeah.
So that's what we're playing for, the face mask and hoodie combo that we have for you this week. 8 is the score to beat English John, the man you need to impress if you want to get on to play. 087-188-0008. But in the meantime, right, there's nothing better than looking forward to a fantastic night out at a great restaurant.
I know,
somewhere
I know.
That you really would love to go. I know nowadays, kind of everywhere you go, you have to eat something. But you know what I mean? Back in the proper days, when you used to look forward to the idea of a fantastic
when
meal.
You treat yourself every so often. Yeah, you know the way you look forward to treating yourself. Like, you know, for you or me, maybe it's, I think I'm dying to get up the road there and then have a pizza or something like that. but there's be a lot of people out there that are, they like their fine dining sort of experiences as well. And this guy, he was on his holidays. He was in Atlantic City over in New Jersey, I think it is, isn't it? And he saw Gordon Ramsay's restaurant. And things being not what they are, you can actually get in now. You don't have to.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I was in one of his, actually. When I was married, I was in a Gordon Ramsay restaurant.
Right.
And I have to say, it was lovely.
Was it fantastic?
What did I eat? Ooh, can't remember. Well, yeah. I did enjoy it.
Actually, it's madness to say that, because I've only ever been in one Michelin star chef restaurant.
Yeah.
In my life.
Right, yeah. And what was it
in
like?
In London. And I can't remember anything I ate.
Nothing, yeah. Scarce, isn't it? I bet you remember the bill, though.
Well, I do remember. This was anyway.
It's funny what happens. Like, so this guy, he went into the Gordon Ramsay restaurant, right? And he's into his food a bit. He saw an American Wagyu steak, right? I'd never heard of what a Wagyu or a Kobe steak was. Did you ever hear of that?
Well, the Wagyu
beef
is actually our local butcher's doing that Wagyu beef. That's that where they get fed like an olive kind of oil thing and all that. And
honestly, I had to Google it separately. So Wagyu beef is from a Tajima strain of Japanese black cattle raised in Japan's. Yep. Prefecture, according to a set of rules by Kobe Beatman, blah blah blah. So it's extremely rare, you know, meat, whatever. So he went in and he said he saw that he couldn't believe the price. He said it looked £26 for 4 ounces. He said compared to what's
blooming heck.
Yeah, now he thought
4 ounces.
Yeah, and he thought, well,
one mouthful.
Why now 26? And he said, that's from experience. He goes, that's actually very cheap.
Oh right,
for what it is. And it's 59 quid for 8 ounces. And he says, do you know what, I'm going to go for a 12 ounce steak. I'm really going to go for it. You know what I mean? So what are we talking here? Talking nearly 100 quid for a meal, he was thinking, whatever, right?
Right.
So he did it, and he never had, he said, the real deal, Kobe. He said, he's in his 40s. He's only ever had meat like this once before in his life. And then the bill came, and it was for £600. And he went, what? And he said, yeah, £600. He goes, but it says on the menu that the 8 ounce is the 59 of the pounds, and then the other one. And he went, no, you blender head. So it turns out he misread it completely, and it's £26 for 4 ounces. So it's actually charged for by the ounce. So the way it works out is that was a kind of a deal. So how much? So I can't count. I'm trying to do the sums.
This is fantastic. Anyway, so 12 ounces came to 600 quid.
Oh, so what it was it's 26 quid an ounce. So for 4 ounces, you have to multiply it. So it was well over 100 quid for 4 ounces.
Oh, my God.
Actually, now that I can count in one, so it's €104. My God, me doing maths, it's like watching. I feel like I am a side of beef when I'm trying to do maths. So it was over £100. So that bill for him came to over 600 quid because it was so expensive. In fairness, he took the hit. He didn't do what... Well, in fairness, I was going to say, well, he didn't do what you or me would do. Can you imagine us in that situation? That'd be £600. We wouldn't go, okay, Dan, thank you very much.
I know. That's the problem.
Probably leave a 150 quid tip and then walk out going, oh no, how am I going to get it home?
That would be
I can't pay me mortgage this month or something.
That's exactly what would happen.
That's what we've done before.
Because you would be so worried about the embarrassment.
I know.
That you'd actually go... 600, oh right, okay, excellent, I have to say, it was thoroughly enjoyable.
Yeah. Worth every penny, thank you very much.
And then go out and cry
and
in
then
the street.
I'll be like sitting on the corner going, I can't believe this, you're going to have to come and get me. I'm having an anxiety attack and I have no money for a taxi. This happened to me before. I told you I was in it, you know, I went to get a suit.
Yeah.
And I walked in and they were, oh, look at you. Yeah, that's just putting me in bits and, amazing and all. Yeah, and they were doing all the bits and pieces and all that. And it got to the end. And I said, do you want a shirt? I do need a shirt, thank you very much. And then there were all the staff standing around,
Then you're on a roll, you see.
Yeah, I was like, look at you. Anyway, they wrapped it all up and I got to the cash register and they were holding the bag, 650 quid. I was like, and he writes down, knock that off. It'll be 20 quid. I was like, oh my God. Okay. Thank you so much. I said, now I've no money to go to the event. Now I've just got to be sitting at home wearing a fancy suit.
Wearing a fabulous suit.
I can't afford it.
In the dark, because I can't afford the electricity.
I can't even afford to turn the telly on. I have to cancel my subscriptions to Sky.
Yeah. Oh man.
So at least this fella, well, like he actually said to them, I can't believe I made, what a mistake I had to make. I'd be too embarrassed to do that.
Yeah.
Like honestly.
And did he have to, like, had he even got the money on him?
Yeah, he paid it on his credit card.
I mean, like, don't get me wrong,
it's
I know
gone to his credit card.
If you're going to a, yeah, well, like, yeah, I suppose the credit card, the plastic is the great saviour in
isn't
that situation.
Isn't it? Yeah, gets you out of it.
Otherwise, oh my God. Because I don't think that, you know, the old cliche of, like, having to do the dishes or something. I don't think that really works.
In a Gordon Ramsay restaurant, I don't say, like, imagine, I'll come, how many days do you want me to come back and do the cleaning? I'd be like, what are you talking about? What money?
Of all of the chefs, right? I know he probably wasn't there. It was his restaurant, but he wasn't there. But if he had been there, imagine the one person that you wouldn't want to have to say that to.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, Gordon Ramsay, the man who made the F word famous.
Famous, yeah. And this guy...
And all of his fantastic put-downs.
I know.
Where he put the two slices of bread either side of that person's head and said, what are you? I'm an idiot sandwich.
I'm an idiot sandwich chef. He still makes him address him with the formal title. I know, it's terrifying.
You can only imagine if Gordon Ramsay had stormed out of the kitchen when you said, look, I don't have the money for this.
I don't know. I didn't know what I was eating. I thought I was just having a steak and chips. Steak and chips!
Yeah, my loco, and sing it back here at Classic Hits. 20 past 8. Thank you for waking up happy with PJ and Jim on this Wednesday. 087-188-0008. WhatsApp in off the back of that chap's Gordon Ramsay experience.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not being able to afford what he ordered.
Yeah.
And there's a text in says, similar thing happened to a friend in a strip club in Budapest.
Oh, you idiot.
The best part about
some people have gotten into awful trouble with those things.
The best part about that WhatsApp is the a friend.
Yeah.
Similar thing happened to a friend.
Yeah.
In a strip club in Budapest.
Now, it just happens I was in Budapest at the same time, but I
on my own.
Not, yeah, what? But I was there, but it was a friend, it was a fellow man. Fellow man. I know,
what?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really know whether I should speculate on what the scenario of that would have been. And I have the...
Well, do you know something? There probably was just drinks and all, because there's not to happen. That does happen, I think, don't they? I've heard stories.
Have you heard? Don't tell me a friend told you, did they?
A friend told me stories about going into some of these places and they order a drink or whatever.
Right.
Or they might buy a drink for one of the ladies working on the premises.
Right.
And then that drink is somehow costs 365 euros or something.
Yeah, champagne.
And you're like, right, but why does it taste exactly like water from the tap? Hey, you better be careful about what you say. Yeah, so I can imagine.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I have never had the experience, but I can imagine.
But you can imagine because a friend told you.
Yeah, a friend of mine who just WhatsApped in there with the same phone number as me.
Anyway, 087-188-0008. If you fancy having a bash at the breakfast table quiz, English John is standing by. Ready to let you get on and play. If you can beat that score of 8, the hoodie and the face mask could be yours.
The hoodie and the face mask could be yours. Have you ever gone? You said you went to a Michelin star restaurant. I've never done it. Now after reading this story, I want to do it. But there's an intimidation level in it for me as well.
Yeah,
to be honest.
It was that guy. What's the guy? I constantly forget his name. And he's the
Raffarin.
I confuse him always with the bloke who got famous for playing the violin. You know,
I haven't a clue who that is.
There's Gary Rhodes. That's it. Thank you, Tara. Gary Rhodes.
All right, yeah.
It was in a hotel that I was staying in London.
See, I'd love to do it. It's something. It's on my list. I'd spend a couple of £100 or something on it to have the experience. But I think I'd just be too intimidated by the menu.
Something? It's not the most memorable meal I ever had.
Well, obviously now she can't remember it at all.
No, well, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas I do remember what I would consider much better. I had a fantastic meal in a place in Sicily and one in New York and one in Croatia. And I'd rate them all higher than the experience in your man's place in
London.
They
were all pizzas though, weren't they? Let's be honest.
Steve Winwood and Valerie here at Classic Hits, 22 minutes away from 9 o'clock. Thank you for waking up happy with PJ and Jim. We got the breakfast table quiz, of course, on the way. 087-188-0008. Final call if you want to try and impress English John and get on there for the chance to win the hoodie. Actually, speaking of which,
yes.
can I give something a quick mention?
Sure, Tim.
Do you know the way we're going on about our magnificent purple hoodie?
Yeah, of course.
Okay,
yes.
Right, as being the big prize in the breakfast table quiz. There's an event happening tonight and purple features, PJ. Because it's my old hood, right? Being a proud fingerless man that I am.
I was just getting over the fact that you've told me I have purple features and I'm not so happy about it.
No, but there's this thing. It's a launch event happening tonight. I think this thing runs for the month, as far as I know, the month of September. It's called Fingerless Does Recovery, right?
Yeah.
And the launch of it is happening at the Church of the Annunciation, which is a very famous church. It's about to be pulled down, actually.
I know the one, yeah.
Yeah, I was christened there and having communion and confirmation there and everything.
That's what they're going to... If you're going to walk around calling people purple features, they're going to start doing these things to the places that built your history.
But apparently it's going to be lit up, from the outside it's going to be lit up in purple. Which is going to be one of the features of the campaign. Apparently a lot of kind of different landmarks are going to be doing it as well. And as I said, it's 7:30 tonight. And our old mate Eric Lawler,
cell man that he is, yeah.
Yeah, is an ambassador.
Oh, brilliant, fair play. Eric's always doing everything for people. He's brilliant, so he is.
And I think the Lord Mayor of Dublin is going to be there tonight
Hazel
as well.
Hazel Chu
is going to be there tonight. Now, obviously, under normal circumstances, it probably would have been a big public event. But
of
because
course.
Of the restrictions...
This, yeah, of course.
Mind you,
suppose.
In fairness, it's a blooming huge church and it's going to be purple. Chances are you're going to see it from a bit off.
That's true, yeah, yeah. So it'll be a significant thing.
Yeah, but watch out for it. And also, Eric features in... There's a video, I think, doing the rounds as well that goes with this and Eric features on it as well. So the best of luck to everybody involved tonight. 7:30... the Church of the Annunciation of Fingerless. It's the official launch of Fingerless Does Recovery. As I say, Lord Mayor there. I think Eric's planning to be there as well and stuff like that. So best of luck to all concerned.
Fair play, that's great.
Always doing their bit, you know.
See, there you go, there you go. And it's nice to hear then. That sort of follows into what I was going to talk to you about, because it's nice to hear that being nice kind of helps you out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So basically what they've done, right, they've done this research around the world, right? They've done these two studies of people who had personality assessments 10 years ago. So it's quite a long time that went into this, right? And it was to find out if being a tosser, basically, is an advantage in the workplace.
Is that the official terminology on the page, yeah?
Well, they said no. They use people, they said selfish, combative or manipulative.
Yeah.
Personalities.
You're right, I should have left it at tosser.
Tosser's easier, isn't it? I mean, I said two out of three of those words. For God's sake. So it was basically to see, the test was to see if you were a tosser and if being a tosser helps you in your career.
Yeah.
Right? So they followed them
over
10 years.
So this is the whole sort of like the, you know, greed is good. It's like it's all about me. It's, walk over people to get to the top, all
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And then right. when apply, because, you know, there's always this sort of thing that goes around that psychopaths run, make good CEOs and blah, 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 and all of that sort of stuff. And it was to actually put 10 years of research into finding out if that is true, right? How do people who act like jerks or tossers be to cope in the workplace, do they actually succeed better than people who are kind and generous and giving with their time? Good news. No, they don't.
Way!
It actually doesn't happen that way. They studied where these people went to work. They studied the sort of working cultures of the companies they ended up in after they went to college.
Mm.
And it turns out that no, they don't do better than anyone else. The also other news of this is being kind doesn't do anything for you either. Everybody lands more or less in the same place. So you may as well be a tosser. 2020, what a year this is.
So
what a year this is. We really are finding out.
Setting out to be a pain in the ass is not going to help you. Setting out to be a really
kind,
nice person,
like you and Eric, nice lads,
it's not going
to
help you.
Trying to get all things purple. Mike, okay, you called me purple features, Grant.
I didn't. I said just purple features.
Yeah, I mean,
it features in all sorts.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, like you're trying to say my purple features are. You're trying to spin it like I have positive purple features now.
Well, you know, I mean, those varicose veins. It's like looking at a road map of Central Europe.
It's nice when I get cold enough and you can see the veins running. It looks like, yeah, like a medieval road map across the side of my face. I know what you're saying. I find it handsome too.
So it doesn't make any difference.
There's no
good
advantage.
Bad, or
no, there's no advantage to being good.
You just land, whatever.
There's no advantage to being good. There's no advantage to being bad. Everybody sort of ends up in more or less the same place.
This is actually great news for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
It's just being completely nondescript and middle of the road. It's never been celebrated before.
Well, there you go. You've suddenly made me feel like purple features are something to be proud of. At least I'm not getting ignored.
Breakfast Table Quiz.
It's time for the Breakfast Table Quiz. Win the best prize that there is. Try to get the biggest score on the next call. Get some more. It's the Breakfast Table Quiz.
The Breakfast Table Quiz with Julie Kilmartin's online revision courses and weekly classes, bringing her amazing team of teachers to your home at the click of a button. CKES.ie.
Yeah, and of course, as you know, this week, courtesy of jackandjay.com there in Kildare, we have another of the fantastic PJ and Jim Classic Hits hoodies to hand out this week, along with the Classic Hits face mask. That's our prize. Fantastic fashion combo is what it is, and it could be yours if you can beat a score of 8, because that's what's top of the leaderboard at the moment, only just a couple of days in, of course.
Indeed, so 9 the score you need to take the lead on the Breakfast Table Quiz this morning, and it's going to be Tracy Coughlin, who's in Cork this morning, East Cork to be precise. How are you getting on, Tracy?
Not too bad, guys. How are you?
Yeah, super, Tracy. I assume it's a wet and miserable one there, is it?
Oh, it's horrible, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much there. Yeah. It's everywhere.
Why am I enjoying that we're all miserable together in these mornings?
It's a sense
know what
of
it
unity.
Is.
It's belonging,
yeah,
PJ.
I think it is,
it's
yeah.
belonging.
Yeah, we're all soggy together. I'm into it. I can live with that.
And have you to venture out at all, Tracy, or are you already out and about, or what's going on for you today?
Yeah, I've just dropped my daughter to school, so I'm on the way home there.
Oh,
now.
Right. You're on the run, yeah.
So is she only just back? Is she back a couple of days, or is it?
She was back last Thursday.
Oh, right.
Oh, wow, she got in before the crowd.
Oh, my God, she's nearly a week under her belt, right? Okay.
How's she liking it? Is she all right with it?
Yeah, she's fine. She's in sixth class this year, so she's the oldest in the school this year, so she's fine going back. She's
all right, good stuff.
Thinking she's the boss of the school, you
that's
know?
The way. She is the boss
that's
of the school,
way.
Yeah.
Right, listen, let's make you the boss of the Breakfast Table Quiz. Tracy, let's get you top of the leaderboard. We need you to get at least 9, hopefully a lot more, but at least 9 to put you top of the leaderboard. Are you ready to go?
Yep, we'll give it a go.
Fingers crossed for you, Tracy. Best of luck. Here we go.
Anne Robinson hosted a quiz show called The Weakest What?
Pass.
Link, interest is paid in either net or what?
Gross.
Yeah, according to the old saying about lost property, finders are what?
Keepers.
How many centiliters are there in 1 litre?
100.
What is a protractor used to measure?
Angles.
Yeah, it is. What is the name of Mickey Mouse's girlfriend?
Minnie.
Bonehead left what band in 1999?
Pass.
Oasis. A Venus flytrap is a type of what?
Plant.
Which pop star recorded the album Goodbye Yellow Brick Road?
Pass.
Elton John. In what continent is Austria situated?
Europe.
Yeah, with what sport would you associate the name Johnny Sexton?
Rugby.
What type of gemstone do oysters produce?
Pearl.
Samosas originate in what continent?
India.
Well, do you know something? It's the same continent. You can have it. Yeah, I'm feeling generous today. Why not? That'll do.
So we're going with that. We're giving Asia.
John slapping his forehead in case I'm causing trouble on the top of the leaderboard.
Well, I mean, fairness, it's only Wednesday. I've already caused controversy yesterday.
I'll take it. It's acceptable.
Right, here we go. So this is it.
Miserable weather, you'll have to.
Exactly.
This is the quote then. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yay!
Oh, brilliant.
So there you go. You're well off into the lead. Well done, Tracy. That's good going.
Excellent.
Yeah, good stuff, Tracy. Listen, if nobody can top that score of 10, you'll be bedecked in the purple glory that is the PJ and Jim hoodie.
Oh, absolutely. It's my favourite colour and all.
Of course it's so regal. You look wonderful in East Cork wearing it.
It's destiny. Destiny it is. Anyway, listen, Tracy, have a good day. Take care of yourself.
Thanks a million.
Cheers.
Bye.
See you, Tracy.
Bye-bye.
Right, so 10 is now top of the leaderboard. The scores aren't huge lately, are they?
No.
I mean, if you
do
get close to, you know, double figures, you're in with a great shout.
Yeah, that's true. I actually will say, though, I'm glad she would have been leading anyway with 9, or I would have really got John into trouble there.
I could see the relief on your face.
Yeah, you want to see him he literally slapped his forehead. He's giving out to me, giving out to me through the window. I apologise, John. But there you go, Tracy, a new leader. There you go. She's practically wearing the hoodie already.
That's it. So it's going to take double figures now. It's going to take at least 11 if you want to get involved and try and get your hands on the PJ and Jim hoodie and, of course, the Classic Hits face mask, both courtesy of jackandjay.com there in Kildare if you want to check it out for yourself. 087-188-0008 is always the number to call if you want to register to play at any stage.
You've been listening to the PJ and Jim in the Morning Catch Up Podcast. Catch PJ and Jim live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on Classic Hits.